Praise God. Aren't you thankful for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. I appreciate what I feel in here, and what a great bunch of people you are. Almost a packed house today in the pastor's absence, and that speaks very well of you, and it speaks well of his leadership. And of course, Sister Arderi and the boys, we love this family very much, and we love you all. It's been a minute since I've been here. I was trying to think when's the last time, and I can't even remember, but it's been a little bit, and thankful to be back, and always hearing the exciting reports of what God is doing here in Jefferson and in Ashtabula and in Conneaut. And the kingdom of God is advancing. The church is growing. It's thriving. I'm excited about your future. God has it all in the palm of his hand. You believe that? And so I do... count it an honor to be here in pastor's absence, and I appreciate the kind remarks that have been made by both of these gentlemen that have held the mic this morning. It is important that you allow your pastor to minister as the Lord would lead him, and I've had numerous conversations with him over the last several years about the Lord adding men under him, bringing pastors under him. Pastors need pastors too. And I have a pastor and a bishop, and he's been my pastor since I was 14 years old, which is at least 10 years ago. And it'll be none of your business how many years past 10 years. But anyway, but I'm thankful for my pastor. And I spoke with Brother Arderi this morning, and I believe God's going to do something there where he is ministering today. And I'm looking forward also to ministering in Ashtabula today. Brother Klein, good to see you. And God bless you. And we're thankful for the good reports that we hear there. Psalms chapter 106 speaks about, and I'll read, and I apologize, I did not get these verses to the media team back there. But I'll start reading at verse 19. And this is speaking of some of the trip hazards and the mistakes that the children of Israel made in their journey from Egypt to the land of Canaan. And there are literally thousands of sermons that can be preached and have been preached about that journey and the mistakes that they made along the way, and the successes and the failures, and the fact that God was faithful through it all. But he was trying to find a people that had the faith to move into the next dimension of the promise of God. How many of you believe that the Lord has more for us? And I know that the Lord has more for this church. I believe that 2026 is going to be a tremendous year. And so this morning, I feel that my mandate from the Holy Ghost is to challenge you a little bit, challenge your mindset going into the new year. Don't just take it for granted that things are going to happen arbitrarily in 2026 and fall in your favor. You're going to have to be intentional about that. And I also believe that there's expansion coming, and I don't think that's a secret. I believe that vision has been cast, and so I want to deliver what I feel like the Lord has put in my spirit today. Verse 19, they made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, God said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. Now, I didn't know that this man that was going to introduce me tonight, Pastor Tyler, I didn't know that he was going to go that far about your pastor and his pastor, whatever, but I thought it was fitting and a bit of a confirmation in the direction I'm going today. And this is not all about Moses. It's not all about the pastor, but certainly this is a game of follow the leader. And if you can't, somebody has to be the leader, right? And if you can't follow the leader, we're all going to be in a mess. And so the Bible said the Lord would have destroyed them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. And I wonder how many times the Lord has gone, or your pastor has gone to the Lord on your behalf. And instead of getting what we deserved, the Lord turned that back. The Lord turned judgment back. The Lord turned wrath back, because there was a mediator, an intercessor, a shepherd, a pastor that called your name before the Lord. That is Bible. Everybody say that's Bible. The Bible said, yea, they despise the pleasant land. That is the land of Canaan. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Now, in spite of how this sounds, I'm really not here to preach a lot of conviction to you today, maybe a little bit. And I mainly just want to challenge you, and I want to talk to you about crossing into the promise. And this is not the first time you've heard preaching about the promise. It won't be the last. But I feel in this moment, here we are in the first Sunday of December, and the new year is approaching, and you have mountains to climb ahead of you in the new year, and you have expansion to be a part of. So I want you to make contact with your neighbor, and I want us to pray together. We're apostolics, we're Pentecostals, and so I'm asking you to pray out loud with authority and power and faith. I know that you know how to do that. And so would you pray with me right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, lift your voice. I pray that your spirit would minister in this place. I pray that you would help us to do the will of God today. Let the name of the Lord be highly exalted. I pray that you would minister to every home and every family, every saint of God, every guest, every church member here today. Let the mighty power of God, let the mighty power of God move in a miraculous way. In Jesus' name. Come on, would you lift your voice right now? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God getting ready to speak to us in this room here today. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would engage every heart and engage every mind. Let the Spirit of God move in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, let fetters and chains be broken off of our minds. Help us, O Lord, to focus and concentrate on you and believe that you are doing your will through us. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Also greet Sister R. Derry. God bless her. Do you love your first lady? Amen. Amen. Praise God. She's a hard person not to like. And you're blessed. You are blessed with the best pastor and pastor's wife and their sons. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So I'm going to rehearse a little bit just for context's sake. Many of you know this story. Some of you may not, but the children of Israel were given an opportunity to cross into this land that was not just promised to them in the days of Moses, but it had been promised to Abraham generations before. And it was told as the Lord was establishing a covenant with Abraham that they would be a stranger in a land that was not theirs, and that they would be afflicted 400 years. But that afterward they would come out with great substance. And the Lord was not just trying to bring them out of Egyptian bondage, but he was trying to lead them into a kingdom promise. So the Lord did not just bring you out of the world to leave you in a stagnant place, in a neutral zone. There is a place that the Lord always is trying to move his people into. Wherever you have been in 2025, you have to move forward in 2026. And don't get caught in a place where you feel like, well, we've arrived, we're doing good, we're filling up our building, and we have some great things happening, and we can just kind of kick back and have good church. There is always an enemy that is fighting. There is an issue always with the adversary coming against the church and against the people of God, trying to get you to settle for less than what the Lord is trying to lead you into. And so the Lord would never push them. He always led them. There was a time that the pillar of cloud shifted behind them to protect them from the Egyptians. But in the wilderness, the Lord was always ahead of them. There was a leading of the Holy Ghost, and there was a cloud. There was a pillar of cloud by day, and there was a pillar of fire by night. And this pillar, the presence of God, the manifestation of the presence of God, was leading them into the promise of God. And so just about the time they got comfortable, I feel my helping here this morning. Just about the time they got comfortable, the cloud would pick up and move, and they would have to move. And at times they would murmur against God, and they would murmur against Moses, because human beings love to set up camp in the comfort zone. And so it'd be really easy for the Pentecostal Community Church here in Jefferson to just get comfortable and get satisfied, and we know how to sing our songs, and we've got great music, and we've got a great pastor, and we've got friends, and it's predictable, and we know we're going to come to the house of the Lord, and we're going to have good church. But everybody say, there's more. There is more that the Lord is trying to take you into. And so the cloud is moving. The cloud is getting ready to move and lead you into greater promises, which requires more responsibility on your part. And the first thing that has to happen with taking on more responsibility is you have to change your mindset. You have to adjust your thinking to the future. You have to understand that what I have done to this point was good. It led me to this station. But now I'm going to have to adjust to a futuristic thinking. I'm going to have to get my mind. What does tomorrow look like? What is it going to cost me? What responsibilities will I have to pick up? And am I willing to do that? Well, we can't predict the future, but what we can do today is we can decide whatever the Lord wants me to do to get involved in this, I'm willing to pay the price. Do I have a witness in the house of the Lord here today? And so you're going to have to decide. I'm not afraid of the cost, because the reward is greater. I'm not afraid of the sacrifice, because the promise of God trumps anything I would have to surrender or any new responsibilities that I would have to pick up. If you believe that, say amen. And so the Bible said that they were adjusting to change. They were adjusting to the trip hazards in the wilderness. And it was always a test of faith. And they would fail God, and God would Moses would have a conversation with the Lord, and there would be mediation made and intercession made, and then Moses would turn back the anger of the Lord, and they would move on. It would be forgiven, and the Lord would do a miracle. But the Lord was teaching them, if you will trust me, I will supply every need according to my riches and glory. If you will follow me, I will give you the strength for the journey. And the Bible said that in the entire time they spent in the wilderness, Their clothes did not even wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. And so part of the provision is the sustaining power of God. If you will not be afraid of what comes next, the Lord has the ability to sustain you in your strength, and He has the ability to sustain you financially. He has the ability to sustain your family. If you will make up in your mind that by faith I am going to pursue the vision of God with everything that is within me. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord if you believe that here this morning? Come on, let's praise Him. Amen. I believe there's some people in the house of the Lord that remember what it was like living in Egypt, and you're grateful for how far that the Lord has brought you. But everybody say, there's more. There is more. And so the Bible said that they were displeased. They hated. They didn't like the pleasant land. They rejected the land of Canaan. Now, one of the things that always puts a little fear in me is the fact that God gave the children of Israel the opportunity to pass into the promise 40 years before they actually passed into the promise. He led them to the brink of crossing over. But because the Bible says there were 10 of the 12 spies that came back, and this is what it says, they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land though which we have gone to search is a land, or through which we have gone to search, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Amen. Can I just tell, or our sight and then their sight? Can I tell you this morning that sometimes the enemy's greatest battle is right here between our two ears? And he will mess with our thought processes and make us think the cost is too high, the project is too great, the responsibility is too heavy. I don't know if we are able to do this, but God is going to give you strength for the journey that is ahead of you. Can I preach right now and tell you that God is the one that is leading the fight, and God is the one that is taking us into this new dimension of the promise of God. I'm talking to you this morning about crossing into the promise. You have not seen all that God has promised for the Pentecostal Community Church of Jefferson, Ohio. I wish I had somebody believe that right now. Oh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. I said I feel the Holy Ghost. Now, God doesn't just have greater things for you as a church, but He has greater things for you as an individual. And so I want to challenge you a little bit to look above the fray, look above the hedge that the enemy has built around you, and look into the future. Don't get in the weeds with the confusion and the dissension and the discord and the frustration and the affliction, the sickness, the turmoil, the sadness and the darkness that the enemy has tried to paint you into a corner in your life. Do not be stagnant when the cloud is moving. Do not dig your heels in the ground when the Lord's saying it's time to go forward. Amen. It is instinctive as human beings, as fallen creatures, for us to be in a place where we feel like we cannot go forward because we don't have the strength to do it. If the cloud is moving, don't be part of the crowd that murmurs. Don't be part of the pack that decides we
understand that the promise is great, but there are giants in the land. I'm here to tell you this morning that there is no opposition that is able to keep you from what God has already decided belongs to you and your family and this church. Amen. Somebody said amen. Praise God. And so they came back and they brought this evil report. And the Bible said, and the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned, they made all the congregation murmur against him. Can I tell you, it only takes one bad apple. It only takes just one bad apple to say, I don't know if we should do it that way. I don't know if really that's what we should be doing right now. Can't we just take a breather for a little while? I'm not sure if this is the direction. All it takes is one bad apple in the bunch to spoil the whole bunch. The Bible said that these men caused the whole congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Amen. They began to talk against what the promise of God was because of the opposition. And I'm here to tell the Pentecostal Community Church, we are not going to give more credence to the lies of the enemy than we do the promise of God. I wish I had somebody that would preach with me here this morning. Whatever the enemy has lied to you and told you, don't you give more credence to that than you do the promise of God. I don't know if I have anybody in here this morning that believes that what God said, he will follow through with, and he will do it every single time. Everybody say, he will do it. Say, he will do it. I'm talking about crossing into the promise. Now, I know a lot of times the people of God, we live our lives arbitrarily. We get to a place where we can manage life. Everything may not be perfect, but everything is manageable, right? It's predictable. We just kind of sit here for a while, get comfortable right here. And I wonder how many times that the Lord has given the people of God the opportunity to cross into a greater dimension of the promise, but because one bad apple got in and began to spoil the bunch, people began to see the opposition instead of the promise of God. I wonder how many years we have delayed and how many years we have walked in a wandering circle in a wilderness that we were never meant to spend time in. Hello, somebody. Come on, I'm trying to get to somebody here this morning that some of the turmoil in your life was not destined for you in the first place, but because somewhere along the way, you allowed unbelief to creep into your life and it limited the promise of God and it delayed the promise of God. Don't wait 40 years for the Lord to lead you into a promise that he's given you the opportunity to cross into right now. Somebody say, I want it now. Somebody say, I want to go into the promise now. I believe that 2026 has the potential. If you make up in your mind, this is the way it's going to be. I believe that 2026 has the potential to be the greatest year of your life. Am I preaching anybody here this morning? I believe it has the potential of being the greatest year of this church's history. Amen. I believe this church could double, amen, in 2026 if you make up in your mind. I'm not afraid of the cost. I'm not afraid of the responsibility. The cloud is moving. Come on, can I get a preaching church right now? The cloud is moving. The cloud is moving on ahead, and God is saying, come on, let's move into another dimension of the promise. Somebody shout amen. 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 So number one, don't be the spy that comes back and said, hey, I've seen it. I've seen the finished product. It's amazing. But let me tell you, there's some battles that we're going to have to go through to get to that place. Don't be that person. And if you're not that person, don't allow that person to come and steal your faith. You know, I've seen people that were doing well for a while until some negative child of God came along and started being a dark cloud around them. Come on, don't be, is anybody named Nancy in here this morning? Anybody named Nancy? Okay, I just want to make sure before I called somebody a negative Nancy. I said, don't be a negative Nancy. If you're a Nancy here, I'm sorry. But anyway, I thought I'd just check. Don't let somebody get in your life and mess up your faith. Don't let somebody get in your ear and talk down the promise of God. You've got a man and a woman of God that will fight hell for you. They have fought hell for you. God has given the man of God a vision for this community and this city. And every area around here, there are more churches to be planted. There are more buildings to be built. There is more land to be bought. There are more souls to be won. There are more people to be set free. Can I get somebody that believes what I'm talking about this morning? I feel the Holy Ghost power in this room right now. Come on. Can I get somebody that will lift up your voice and say, I am going into the promise right now? Come on, somebody's going to say, I'm not going to wait another 40 years to move in. I'm not waiting another 5 years to move in. I'm pressing into the promise of God right now. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord and give him praise? Come on, would you praise him right now? Now, the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 3, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 14, again, I did not give these to the media team. They'll find it here pretty quick because they're good at what they do. It came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan. Everybody say they passed over. That the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, they came to the brink of the crossing over. They came to the edge of the promise. But there was an obstacle. Everybody say there's always obstacles. There are always obstacles. The promise can be so close that you can see it a short distance away. But there is an obstacle. There are always going to be obstacles. And the Bible said that they came to the edge of the Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim. Everybody say the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. It matters what you do at harvest time. It matters what you do when the cloud is moving. It matters what you do when you can get within sight of the promised land. Amen. And how you respond to the obstacles, it happened. Boy, I've seen like building programs, and I've seen evangelism efforts. I've seen projects that have been done in the church. I've been pastoring for 24 years. And with every project, with every building program, you can just count on it. It's going to take three times longer than you thought it was going to take. And it's going to cost at least three times more because there are always obstacles. Regardless of how close you see the promise, there is an obstacle. Boy, I feel something, the Holy Ghost here in this room. The Bible said when they put their feet in the brim of the banks of the Jordan that was overflowing. The Lord is not going to let you cross over into the promise with little obstacles, because it is a trial of your faith that is more precious than gold. I'm speaking to some individuals this morning that sometimes it's just like, why can't it ever be easy? Can I get a witness out there? Why can't I ever catch a break? Why does it always have to be the big problems with me? Why do I always have to move heaven and earth just to get something little done? done, and I can't figure out what's going on, because it is the trial of your faith. You don't get a great promise with little obstacles. If you want a great promise, there are going to be great obstacles, but God is going to part the waters for you, and He is going to roll it back so that you can go through on dry ground. I wish I had somebody believe what I'm preaching here this morning. The Bible said when they put their feet in the brim of the water, that the waters which came down from above, they stood and they rose up upon an heap. If I'm not mistaken, the waters rolled back, or they stood up, and it was dry for 20 miles down the Jordan River so that they could cross over. And the Bible said the priest that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. I'm fixing to preach in this place. And all the people pass through. You hear me? There are some things in your life, and especially in this church, that will not be done without the man of God going first. The priesthood is going first into the water. And the Bible said that when they put their feet in the water, somebody needs to hear me, that the waters rolled back. They stood up on a heap, but the priesthood stood there firm. Everybody say they stood firm on dry ground. You got a pastor that when he makes up in his mind, he's heard from the Lord, he has the faith to put his feet in the water so that the waters will roll back. The congregation cannot make the waters roll back. Can you hear me right now? Are you listening to me? The saints of God cannot make the waters roll back for this church. Only the set man of this house can make the waters of the Jordan roll back for this church. But when the man of God steps into that water and sees the demonstration of the miraculous power of God, you trust me, he will be unrelenting. He is going to stand firm, because he knows if I waver, the congregation will never cross over. You ought to be thankful that you have a man of God that's got a backbone, that when God speaks, he will act, and that he will stand firm on solid ground so that the church, I feel the Holy Ghost right now, so that this church can cross over into the promises of God. Oh, somebody needs to praise him right now. Somebody needs to magnify him in this place right now. Come on, somebody, praise him. There is an order. Everybody say order. There is an order to things. There's an order. Anointing flows down from the head. Amen. I've got a pastor. I've got a bishop. That anointing rolls down from the head. And so from that, there is an order. I don't try to go above my bishop. I don't try to go above my pastor, because there is an order. I can't expect the people that I pastor to be submitted to my leadership if I can't submit to leadership. Hello? And the Bible said you don't get authority unless you're under authority. Don't push back against the authority and the covering. The man spoke about it. Pastor Tyler spoke about that. The covering is important. It's not control, it's protection. Hello, somebody. Don't get quiet on me here. This is just a small point in the message, but I'll stay here and camp a while if you get quiet on me. Everybody say covering. Everybody say, I need a pastor. Amen. Don't push back against the apostolic and spiritual authority in your life, because there are going to, I feel the Holy Ghost right now, because there are going to be some things that you cannot cross over by yourself. There are going to be some journeys you cannot make by yourself, and you're going to need a man of God to hear from God and put his feet in the brim of the waters so that the congregation can cross over. Amen. I feel an expectancy about what is coming next in this community. How many of you feel that? Come on, I don't want you to just be an average attendee just coming, getting your church in. Give me a lecture, preacher. Give me a devotion, devotional here, preacher. Just give me a little Bible lesson and let me get through the week. I'll go back home. I'll go through my duties. That's not what you were called to the kingdom for. God did not call you out of Egypt for you to die in the wilderness. And they did die in the wilderness because of their unbelief. There was a whole generation. There was a whole generation that could not go with Moses and God into the promised land. God gave that generation an opportunity, and they came back, and all they could talk about was the obstacles. But when he gave the next generation the opportunity, all they could talk about was the promise. And if you're going to be a promise inheritor, and if you're going to be a promise keeper, you're going to have to change your vocabulary. Can I preach right now? Come on, don't be a naysayer. Don't glorify your problems more than you glorify God. You didn't come to the house of the Lord today to glorify your problems. You came to the house of the Lord today to magnify him. The psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord and give him praise? Come on, let's praise him right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. There ought to be a hunger in your soul. There ought to be some people in this place at some time this week. Call your pastor on the phone, or don't just call him, tell him all your problems, right? Text him, call him. He's going to kill me for doing this, Sister First Lady. But if you do it right, he won't kill me. You need to get in touch with him this week and say, listen, I want you to know I'm with you. And I realize that it takes a lot of faith for you to put your feet in the brim of the water, because you don't have any promise that anybody's going to stay at this church. You don't have any promise that people are going to be faithful in their tithes and offering. You don't have any promise that people are going to stay loyal to your leadership. Come on, I know you've agonized over whatever decisions you've made for 26, but I'm behind you 100%, and whatever you need me to do, that is what I will do. That's what a pastor needs. Come on, there's no sense in him standing in the bed of the Jordan River if the congregation will not cross over. If I can get somebody to believe me here this afternoon, I need to get an amen from the pew. What good is it if the man of God stands in the dry riverbed if the congregation will not go with him? Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody rise up on your feet and say, I am in this. I am for this. I am ready for what's next. I'm going to give it my best. I am going to praise God through every challenge and every obstacle. Somebody ought to praise him right now. Come on, somebody ought to praise him right now. I need somebody to get on their feet right now and praise him. In the name of Jesus. Come on. I love you, but some of you ain't even come to church yet. I need somebody to lift your voice right now and say, I am in this. I am for this. I am ready for this. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. Somebody shout amen. There are some things that God will not do anything about. You need to remember this principle. Until the man of God acts upon what the Lord has told him. And it's real easy as a pastor to wait till you have all the money just stacked, right? We're just cash. We're drowning in cash. I'm sure y'all are. We're just swimming in cash. We got so much money around here, we don't even know what to do with. I'm sure that's the case. But you're the only church I've ever been to that's the case. Because most of the time, God tells you to put your feet in the water when there's only 10 bucks in the account. Because this is the journey of faith. This is not about security. This is not about just waiting until we stack the cash. This is God said it, and this is what we're going to do. Now, I know Brother R. Derry well enough to know that a lot of times he walks to this pulpit and shocks the daylights out of you and just come just out of the blue. All right. And makes her nervous. And I, you know, she probably don't do this, but my wife would do this, but probably gets home and when everything quiets down, they get a little bite to eat and, you know, just get settled down or whatever. She probably has looked at him a time or two and said, "You said what tonight? You did what? You made what decision? You said we're doing what?" Right? You ever done that? Oh, she's admitting it. So, yeah, that kind of stuff happens. And you know why? You know why he comes up here to shock the congregation? It's not shock treatment. It's because the Lord spoke to him in a prayer closet. The Lord dropped something in his spirit while he was sitting in the office 5 minutes before church, and he came to this podium and said, "This is what the Lord said to do, and this is what we're going to do." And when the Lord speaks, it doesn't matter how many things you have organized. It don't matter what you have planned. God loves to mess up our plans. It doesn't matter what you had laid out, what you thought was coming for the next 6 months. All of a sudden, there's a Holy Ghost pivot that takes place, because when the Lord speaks, the only thing we need to get our eyes on is the promise that is just across the greatest obstacle that we have faced. Can you shout amen? Amen. Stand with me right now. Now, something needs to happen in our prayer. This prayer today doesn't, now the Lord meets the needs of people, and if you've got a need here, we've got preachers that'll pray for you. And if you need prayer for something, surely you can wave to them and get their attention and they'll come on down and pray for you, whatever. But that's not really what this altar call is about. This altar call is about this. If you're not in leadership, you need to do what you need to do to get in leadership. If you're not in leadership, you need to be willing to be a leader in the house of God. If you are in leadership, you need to double down on your leadership, and you need to make up in your mind that whatever the Lord wants us to do, that is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the church said, amen. Amen. Praise God. That's what this altar call is about. It's about getting a burden for kingdom work and kingdom ministry. This altar call is about people saying, "I'm not going to be a bench warmer. I'm not going to just be an attendee. I am going to participate. I am going to cross over the things that the Lord has removed, the obstacles that have been removed. I am going to be a crossover saint of God, and I am going into the promise of God." If that's you right now, would you come? As they begin to play, they're going to sing something, and I want you to come right now. If you're willing, come on. I want you to lift your voice, and I want you to begin to utter those words in prayer. I want you to begin to tell the Lord, "God, this is what I'm here for. I'm here to get involved. I'm here to participate. I'm here to work hard. I'm here to have the right attitude. I'm here to have the right spirit." Come on, somebody. Come on, lift your voice. Go ahead, sing. I want somebody to lift their voice right now and say, "Lord, I'm in this with both feet. I'm going to move as the Lord says to move today. In the name of Jesus, oh God." Come on, pray with somebody next to you. Lift your voice and pray like apostolics know how to pray. Come on, this is a real prayer. I don't want you to just I don't want you to just mumble some words. I want you to lift your voice, and I want you to mean it. Father, God, I want to be involved in what you're doing. I want to do it with the right spirit. I want to do what I need to do to qualify for the position, for the place that you want me to be in, for this kingdom work, kingdom ministry, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, would you pray? Would you pray an apostolic prayer right now? I'm behind the vision. I'm involved. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to follow the man of God. I'm going to trust the man of God. I'm thankful for a man of God that will stand firm. Jesus' name.
It's running after me. Is your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Is your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Yes, your goodness, Lord. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.